Well, guys, as Steve said, I am finishing off today a series on pursuing the prophetic. I'm also kind of comboing it with Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter, and we're going to talk about that a little bit here today. But I do remember when I was 17, the first moment I really stepped into a prophetic gift, I guess, or moment. And just to give you a little bit of context is I was so far away from God when I was 15, 16, 17. I'd love to share my story a bit later, but just letting everyone know, if you don't have a personal relationship with God, oh my goodness, I cannot wait, because at the end of this service, I'm going to give you that opportunity to begin a relationship with God. And so for me, I began a relationship with God. It was a radical transformation. I went from like full on in the world to full on for Jesus. And I gave my life to Him and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you, 2 weeks later, everyone say two. So it wasn't 10 years later. It wasn't after I had done a Bible college course later. It wasn't when I became a pastor later. It was 2 weeks later when I, out of God's grace, just given my life to Christ. I'm sitting in a worship meeting just like this. And I'm like I'm with my mom and my dad. I was like that 17-year-old who had no friends in church yet, but getting there. And I was sitting with my parents and we were in worship and I just got this picture. When we talk about the prophetic, we all can move in the prophetic in different ways. Some Pastor Greg talked about this last week. Some people get pictures. Some people get scriptures. Some people just see words. There's no one fit way. But on this note, I got this picture of my dad. I saw three faces. I saw my dad with his face really sad and down and depressed. Then I saw a face of my dad, you know, just a normal face. And then I saw a third face of dad with immense joy. And I'm sitting in worship and I don't even really know what the prophetic was. And I feel God say to me, I want you to tell your dad what you saw. And here I am, I'm like 2 weeks old as a baby Christian. My dad's been following the Lord for decades. I'm like, what do you mean you want me to tell him something? Like, what are you talking about? And I'll never forget, I learned a valuable lesson there. And that is that the gifts of the Spirit always work through obedience and faith. If you're taking notes, I want you to write those two words down. It is pretty well impossible to move in the gifts of the Spirit without obedience. And obedience, I found, always requires faith. They're not natural gifts. They're supernatural gifts. And I find it funny. Often we look at people like Pastor Greg and we think, oh, it must be so easy for them. Do you know what I've discovered is whenever people are moving in the Spirit, it always requires faith. And so that day, it was just like God gave me this little practice round. And I was like shaking. And on the way home, I'm like, Dad, can I share something with you? And I just said, I really felt God wanted me to share what I saw in worship. And I shared this vision, what I saw. And my dad literally broke down weeping. And God just like really spoke to him about seasons in his life. I didn't really know what it meant. But really, the prophetic word encouraged him. There is a season of immense joy coming. And he cried and it was powerful. But I just want, the whole point of that story is that I was so new to faith. See, the Holy Spirit is in us for us, but he comes upon us for others. I'm going to share a few thoughts around that. But the Spirit of the Lord is in us for us. He encourages us. He comforts us. He strengthens us. The Bible says He is our helper. The Greek word parakletos. He is in us and He is helping us all day, every moment, every season. But then the Spirit of God in other moments comes upon us, and that's for other people. He's in us for us. He's upon us for others. And that brings us all the way. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 together as we talk about Pentecost. Turn to the person next to you. Say, you ready? You ready? You ready? Acts chapter 1. I am going to jump everywhere, okay? Go home and read all of Acts 1, all Acts 2. I'm a qualified teacher. I'm allowed to give you homework. That's your homework. And let's start with verse 4, okay? On one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus to the disciples, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Everyone say, wait. for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to skip over to verse 8. And Jesus said again, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This is one of the most powerful promises and verses in the entire New Testament for you and I, for every believer, but you and I will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. There is a power available to you and I today that is greater than anything that can come against us in this life. Think about it. What is there out there? What power can come against you and I? What power can come against our family? What power can come against our finances that is greater than the power of the Holy Spirit? If you can think of one, let me know. But it's probably not true because the Bible says that the Spirit of God is the greatest power in all the earth. And that power comes upon us. Come on, this is good news. When the Spirit of God comes on us. We are called to a powerful life, not a powerless life. I've got to get preaching. All right. And you will be my witnesses. So why did the power come upon the disciples? So that you guys can have a great church service? No. So that you guys can have a great life? Yes, but no. Why? So that you can be my witnesses. What is the context? It is purpose. The Spirit of God comes upon them, not in them, upon them, with power to what? Be my witnesses. To fulfill their purpose. Let's skip over, we turn the page to Acts chapter 2. 50 days after Easter, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I want you guys to picture it because it's so similar to this room here today. There was a place called the Upper Room, and there were 120 believers in that place. Let's picture this as I read it. There's probably around 120 people here today. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house that they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came upon and to rest on each of them. Can I just quickly say, you never miss out coming to the house of God. Come on, the tongues of fire didn't just come on some of them, on the ones that had been good that week, on the ones that had prayed that morning. What? The Spirit of God came upon each of them. What qualified them? They were in the house. They were in the room. Who missed out? Those who were not in the room. It's always good to find yourself in church with your family. Woo, all right. Where am I? And they came on reach to them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is Pentecost, the promise that the whole Old Testament had led towards, the promise that Jesus talked about his entire time that he was on earth. As he said here, that the Father promised that the third part of the Trinity would come upon us as believers of Jesus Christ. And it was fulfilled this day. And from that moment, it has shifted that every single one of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we can receive the exact same experience and encounter and power that the disciples did that day. Verse 14, I just want to pull one last strand out of this story. Then Peter stood up with the 11. I skipped a bit there, as I said, do your homework. Raised his voice and addressed the crowd. So what happened here is these believers were praying in tongues and sha-da-da-da-ba-ba-ba-ba, and they were like, and there was all this commotion around the place, and people thought they were drunk because there was such a loud noise and they're speaking in other languages, and it's amazing and powerful and crazy. And people were like, what the heck is happening? And all of a sudden, this man named Peter, we just read, he stands up with boldness and addresses the crowd, which we know was well over 3,000 people. And he declares the gospel. And I just want to take one moment to zoom into Peter because this story astounds me. We have to remember that just 53 days earlier, not even 3 months earlier, okay, 2 months and a few days, Peter had literally denied Jesus Christ 3 times. Why? Out of fear, intimidation. And he had no power. He tried to do it in his own strength. But I want you to picture this for a moment and put yourself in this poor man's shoes. He literally denied Jesus, and the Bible says Jesus actually heard him denying him. And the Bible says as he denied Christ, his eyes locked onto Peter. Can you imagine how this man must have felt? Because Peter was a good man. He had laid his life down for the gospel. He had laid down everything he knew to follow Jesus. But in this crucial moment where he could have stood up for his Savior and Lord, he denied him three times. And it broke his heart. But this same man, only 53 days later, found himself preaching boldly, risking his life. Okay, we're not just talking about he preached at a great church and got a love offering. We're talking about like these guys just killed Jesus and he stands up with boldness and declares the gospel to the Jews. And I just go, wow, what happened to this man who was once a coward, shaking in fear and trepidation, who let down Jesus, who is now standing up with boldness and courage and declaring the gospel? What happened? Let me tell you, Pentecost happened. And what happened in Pentecost? Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, power came upon him, and now he could fulfill the call of God on his life. The Holy Spirit comes in us for us, but he comes upon us for others. Jesus went into the wilderness filled with the Spirit, but he came out clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible said. And here's my key thought today, friend, that you and I, the key to the fulfilling our calling from God, no matter what your calling is, see, my calling will be different to Christian's calling, that is different from Jack's calling, which is unique to Ashley's calling. But the key to you and I fulfilling our calling and purpose is the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave the Great Commission, which was purpose, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. But to fulfill the Great Commission, they needed the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, guys, here's your purpose, the Great Commission, but I need you to wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Reinhard Bonnke, who's probably the most fruitful evangelist ever to live on the earth, I would say, he had this great quote. He said, if we only have the Great Commission and only have the Holy Spirit, we either have power without purpose or purpose without power. It is a package deal, and that is what God honors. Isn't that amazing? God gave the Great Commission, which was purpose. God has given each of you and I a purpose, but we need, that's only half of the package. Reinhard Bonnke said here, guys, you need the Holy Spirit. We need power with our purpose. And he has one more quote. Evangelism without the Holy Spirit is like trying to drive a car without petrol. How good's that? And that flows into this, trying to be a prophetic voice, trying to move in the gifts of the Spirit without the Holy Spirit himself. It's like trying to drive a car without petrol. You might be able to get a few miles, but you're going to run out of power. You and I need the Holy Spirit. He is the key to fulfilling our purpose. He equips us and empowers us to be who we're called to be and to do what we're called to do. He is not a luxury. He is an absolute necessity for Christian life and for ministry. He is our helper. I want you just to say that out loud today. Say, I need the Holy Spirit. I try to remind myself of that every morning. I love Benny here, and he says the first word that comes out of his mouth every day is, good morning, Holy Spirit. And what's happening there, he's beginning communion, but he's also reminding his own body and his own soul, I need you, Holy Spirit, today. And I know in my own life personally, guys, I am desperate for the Holy Spirit because I need the Holy Spirit. I cannot do this life without him. I can't do my calling without him. Peter went from fear to boldness, confusion to clarity, denier to disciple maker, fragile to faithful. He was empowered, but the key was Pentecost. The key was the Holy Spirit. And this is why I'm so passionate, as you can probably tell, about this day, because the good news is we need him, and the Bible says we can all receive him. The decision is just up to us. And I know today, I'm going to talk about prophecy for 10 minutes, but then I'm just going to open the altar to finish this service. And there is a fresh encounter and a fresh infilling available for each and every single one of us today. But the Holy Spirit is always drawn to our hunger our thirst and our faith. Can I get you to reflect right now? What difference has the Holy Spirit made in your life since you met him? And I imagine Peter reflecting on that. He's like, man, I'm like a different man. Why don't you reflect on that this morning? How is your life different since you encountered the precious Holy Spirit? And opening the eyes of faith to go, imagine what God can do with any life that is wholeheartedly devoted to the Holy Spirit. And that's the secret. That is why guys like Reinhard Bonnke, he literally saw 79 million people won to Christ. I've studied his life because I love him. And he just time and time again, he gives all glory to the Holy Spirit. So much to the point where his autobiography, which by the way is bigger than the Bible. I started it 10 years ago. I'm still nearly finished. But the title is Living a Life of Fire. And that's his whole life message, is living a life of fire. We need the Holy Spirit. And if you've never encountered him, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you've never had that experience, today is your day. As I said, we're going to go there. But let me just zoom in for 10 minutes into the prophetic as I land this series. And everything I'm sharing here is applicable to every gift of the Spirit, everything that we will talk about over the coming year. But I just want to zoom in to the prophetic. And this applies to all of our callings. But number one, I wanted to say my first thought around a key to the prophetic is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The prophetic will be an overflow with our personal walk with Jesus. In fact, our entire calling, our entire purpose, every single part of our life, it's an overflow. It is an overflow of our personal walk with Christ. It's an overflow of our prayer life. It's an overflow of our word life. It's an overflow of our fasting life, our devotion, our times of waiting on the Lord. Jesus didn't say, do this, and then you'll be. He said, wait, and you will be clothed in power. We need to wait on the Holy Spirit. We need to personally in our own life, before we even think about hearing God's voice for other people, we need a devotion and a practice and a commitment and a habit of every day inclining our ear to the Lord. What's your word for me? Before we ever ask, what's your word for others? We need to get in that place of, Lord, what's your word for me? It's an overflow. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul's saying to the church, guys, if you can be filled, that tells me the opposite is true. You and I as believers can be empty of the Holy Spirit. We can find ourselves dry, empty. Paul's not writing to people who aren't saved. He's writing to the church. And he says, guys, hey, we got a decision. We can fill our life with, and I believe when he's talking about wine, yes, wine, but also created things, things of this world. He could have said, hey, guys, do not be stuck watching Netflix 3 hours every day. Do not be stuck scrolling Instagram for 10 hours, but instead be filled with the Spirit. We have a choice. We can fill our life with created things or with the Creator himself. And I love that Paul's stirring up the believers. Guys, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In every season, in every day, in every moment, find ourselves filled. Because when we're filled, it will overflow, and that's when the gifts of God move through our life. I have discovered that it is very hard to give what we do not have. As a minister of the Holy Spirit, I can't get up here today and minister to the church unless I am first filled myself. I've learned this the hard way. I am so not perfect, but it's my life's goal that I would find myself in the place of overflow. Because we cannot connect people to what we're not connected to ourselves. And so if you want any gift of the Spirit to flow in your life, if I want any gift of the Holy Spirit to flow in my life, it will always begin first out of an overflow of being filled with Him, my relationship with Him. And as I shared before, we need to first learn how to hear God for ourselves. And so I had this word of my dad, and I found myself about a year later. I feel God just, still I'm learning to how to do this in a good way. And by that time, I was actually a youth pastor, and I was learning how to move in the Spirit. And I'll just never forget this moment. It was my first time preaching on a Sunday service. I was so scared. I'm like, yeah, I just don't want to tell you how much I sweated. It was gross. But anyway, I was so nervous and I had it by my plan. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. And I just felt that same whisper that I had grown accustomed to in my quiet time. When I'm reading the Bible and I hear something that morning, I'm like, oh, there's the whisper of God. And I get up to preach and I hear the whisper of God to prophesy over a 50-year-old woman. And I'm like this little 18-year-old, scared, nervous, like, oh. And it's so clear. I just heard the voice. You feel like you're going two steps forward and one step backward. And I'm wrestling. Remember what I said at the start, the gifts of the Spirit move through obedience and faith. So the prophetic will always move through obedience and faith. And so I had a decision. Will I obey and step out in faith, or will I disobey and shrink back in fear? Anyway, long story short, I'll never forget what I learned this day. I get the courage. Can you stand? Oh, I've got a prophecy. And I was so nervous, but I said, I felt the Lord say this. And you know what? She came up to me after the service weeping. And she said, Dan, you will not believe it. Literally yesterday, I sat my husband down. Oh, sorry. And she said, I was crying to him, thinking about giving up on God, because she kept saying, I feel like we're going one step forward and two steps back. That's what it was. But she said, this word today has encouraged me because I spoke out of that. And literally the exact phrase she said to her husband 24 hours earlier, God dropped in my heart. But that's because I had learned to hear the voice of God. I have found the closer I am to Jesus, the more he can use me. And I love this quote, when I pray, coincidences happen. And we know they're not coincidences, they're God incidences. But when we pray, you'll just find the Holy Spirit say, why don't you text that person the scripture? Why don't you tell this person you're praying for them? Hey, why don't, when your kid comes home from school why don't you just ask them this question? Why don't you just share a text to your wife telling her how much you appreciate her? And you know, I cannot tell you how much in my life I have felt the Lord say to encourage someone with a scripture, and they literally, I'd say it's amazing. It still sounds, but how much I'll come back, guys, Dan, that is exactly what I needed to hear. What happened there? It wasn't my gift of encouragement. It was the Holy Spirit, because I've learned to hear him sharing what he wants to say. So number one, be filled. Dan, hurry up. Number two, watch our motivation. This is a quick thought. 1 Corinthians, Paul saying to the Corinthian church, 13 verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, everyone say love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, useless. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and about the faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. This is some powerful words, but it's an insight into the prophetic. Paul is saying, I know this is blunt, but he's basically saying, it does not even matter how good your gift is. He's almost like, I'm paraphrasing, but who cares if you know all wisdom and all knowledge, but you're missing this one thing, which is the most important thing. It's the motive of our heart. And Paul was saying to the church, he's saying, guys, the gifts are awesome, they're powerful, but what is your motive? And he said here, the underlying, undergirding foundation of every spiritual gift has to be love for people and service to Jesus. And I've discovered, I wish I had more time, but on my journey of growing in the gifts, whenever my motivation has been slightly wrong, slightly off, I've just found that God starts to close doors, that the gifts start to stop working and moving. And it's almost like when my motive is in that great place of, hey, I just want to serve God. I just want to bless his people. I want to encourage them because I love them. When my motive is in that place, I have found the Lord's like, awesome. There's an instrument I can use. It's God who gives us the gifts. They're supernatural. And it's God who can take them away at any moment. He can open doors and he can shut doors. And if our heart and motive is love, he will increase the gifts on your life and on my life. And I just want to encourage you, if you feel you have that prophetic anointing and gift on your life, or maybe you don't right now, but you desire it, I would say probably perhaps the most important thing outside of my first thought, our walk with Jesus, is developing a love for people. Because as soon as the enemy can snatch that little heart in 1% in our life, we're in big trouble. And we've seen so many prophetic voices and gifted individuals, when they get this wrong, the enemy takes them out. It's not about us. I want to like bolden that, underline it, write it down, friend. I'm talking to myself. The gifts are not about us. The Spirit of God comes upon us for others. Amen. Number three, I'm going to zoom in quick. Become a master encourager. A master encourager. Look, I so encourage, if you missed last week's interview with Greg, that's what pretty much his main thought was. Go and listen to it. But I can't stop thinking about what he said. That encouragement is the rawest form of the prophetic. And so if you and I feel a drawing to the prophetic, and I know I bet you at least 25% of this room would feel that drawing. And maybe it's a new gift to you and you're exploring it. But what I love about this is encouragement is so accessible for every one of us. And I would say for me, where God uses me the most powerfully is never when I have a microphone. And I honor that, and it's sacred, and of course, it's beautiful, and it's powerful. But I find where God uses me the most is when I'm praying. I'll pray here every day. I'm usually on this altar praying for the church, and God will prompt someone into my heart. And I'll send them a text or a voice message saying, I was just praying for the church, and God put you in my heart. And I just have this scripture I hope that encourages you. And I found for me, I'm just encouraging people with scripture, but it's guided by the Holy Spirit. And I would say for me, I find that is where my prophetic gift flows the best. Yes, you know, all of this is awesome and it's powerful, but more than that, I have found God will clearly open doors to public ministry and he will clearly close doors to public ministry. What he is looking for is our heart. And so you might go, hey, I got the gift. I feel like I got the gift. I want to grow in it. Where do I start? It's so simple. Start with encouraging people. And don't even say the word God. It doesn't have to be God. I felt God say this to me. You can just say, hey, I was just praying for you and I was reminded of the scripture. How awesome is that? I love what Greg said last week, that imagine a church where that's our culture. And I would say, hey, we're really good at this. We're probably 70% there. But I reckon as a group of people, we can get to 100%. Where we are the most encouraging place in the city of Melbourne. Where people walk through these doors. And before they even encounter God with worship, they encounter a son of God or a daughter of God who encourages them, who puts strength into them. And can I tell you, that might be where revival begins. Because people will feel loved. And where people feel loved, their heart softens and opens to the Lord. Let's be an encouraging person. If you see it, say it. That's a mantra in my head. Dan, if you see it, say it. If you see it, say it. If you see something good in your spouse, tell them. Don't you dare hold that to yourself. I'm talking to myself. Don't wait. It's not powerful in our own thinking. When's the power? When we say it. I know for me, just a few practical tips. I have a reminder on my phone or in my calendar. It comes up, encouragement time. I know this is how my brain works. And I'll literally stop and go, oh, that's a great reminder. I'm trying to be an encouraging person. Lord, who do you want me to encourage? Be specific, sincere, and strength-focused. Specific encouragement is powerful. Broad encouragement loses its power. Be sincere. It's truly what you believe from your heart. And focus on people's strength. And as I shared earlier, use scripture. As I invite the band up, let me close with one last thought. Step out regularly and learn. So if you want to grow in the gift of the prophetic, number one, we talked about be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let it be an overflow. Number two, we talked about watch our motivation. Let the Lord do a work in our heart and let us just fall in love with people and stay in that place and not let the enemy taint that. Number three, become a master encourager. Have that goal. I want to be an encouraging person. I want to be an encouraging person. And number four, step out regularly and learn. The only way you and I can grow in our gifts is when we use our gifts. And we learn through experience. And I just want to encourage whatever your gift is, whether it is the prophetic, or whether you feel a call to evangelism, or you feel a call to teaching, or you feel a call to whatever you feel your calling is and your giftings are, the only way you and I can grow is if we go, if we use the gifts. And can I tell you, if you feel nervous about it, welcome to the club. That's actually a good place to be. And if you're too confident, that actually alarms me more than you being nervous. Every time I get up on pulpit, I'm nervous. Every time I go to text someone, I'm nervous. Why? Because as I said at the beginning, to circle back, it's a supernatural gift. By definition, we're not relying on ourselves. We're not relying on our own wisdom. We're not relying on a Bible college degree. What are we relying on? The Holy Spirit. So use the gift. Use your gifts and do it in safe ways. A few real quick tips as I finish. Find mentors. Who do you feel has a great prophetic gift on their life? Ask them out and say, I want to shout you a coffee or a lunch, and can I pick your brains on how you move in the prophetic? Accountability. Never prophesy over someone one-on-one. That's never a good space to be. I don't put myself in that situation. Always do it around people. Have a witness. Use soft language. As I said, I would encourage, as you're growing in the gift, take God's name out of it. You can say, hey, I was praying for you and I felt, rather than going, God says unto you. I would encourage, use softer language as we're growing in the gift. Hey, I could be wrong. I say that all the time when I'm prophesying. Guys, I could be wrong, but I'm feeling God, this. Give it a go. And connect groups are a great place to grow in the gifts. Sunday services, God will open the doors, close the doors, but connect groups are a great place to grow in your giftings. Ask your connect group leader, hey, I actually feel like I have an encouragement for someone here tonight. Can I share it with you? And is it okay if I share it? Sometimes they might say no. We've got to be mature and just go, okay, you're the leader. I trust you. But other times they'll go, yeah, of course. Give it a go. Safe place to grow in the gifts. 2 Timothy 1:6, my last verse. If you feel called to the prophetic, for this reason I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of on hands. Today, as we stand to our feet, actually, why don't we all stand up and just look to the Lord. I really just feel in the Spirit, I want to just come alongside you today. My goal this morning was to fan into flame the gift of God in you. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have gifts in you. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you've got a call from God on your life. And I would encourage everyone here in this place, fan into flame, fan into flame, fan into flame the gift that is in you. Can we all just close our eyes for a moment? I just want to pray over anyone who does feel a desire to the prophetic. Wherever you are, can you just raise your hand nice and high and say, Dan, that's me. I feel to grow in this. I desire it. I want to grow. And you, as I said, you may have never done it before, but it's on your heart. Be nice and bold. Raise your hand. Awesome. Probably 30% of this room. And what I'd love us to do right now, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to believe God right now. Lord, for every hand that is raised, I just declare that the gift is in them. I declare that the Holy Spirit is upon them. And Father, today we fan into flame the gift of God. I declare that they will grow in this gift, that you would give them a desire, a hunger, and a passion to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that they would seek you in their own life. I pray that their motivation would stay in the place of love. Stay in the place of love and service. Father, I bind the enemy trying to distort that. Lord, I pray that you would anoint them right now to encourage people. Give them words over people's life. As they seek you, give them the right words to say, the right scriptures to declare. And Lord, lastly, I pray that you would use them mightily to build up the church, to build up people in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So good. So good.